I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. There's always more to learn about walking by faith, walking with God. His plan is that we get stronger and stronger and stronger. And I call it the law of displacement. You get full of faith, it pushes all the fear out. It pushes the questioning and wavering and wondering out. But you don't get full of faith by accident. It doesn't just happen. It depends on what you're around, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're talking about. That's why we have Faith School, is so that we're, just like we said, we feed our spirit and our faith. That's how you get full. And you know, if you have a car, truck, pickup, vehicle of some kind, whatever, lawnmower, and it's got a gas tank, you would know when it's full even if you had no gas gauge. Right? I mean, so, well, my gas gauge is not working. How can I tell that it's full? Not that hard. Go to the gas pump, put it in, start pumping. Now, you could stop a little bit because I wonder how much is in there. I just wonder. Keep pumping. Pump. And then you'll begin to hear a gurgle. Is that right? And then you better slow down. Right? But then if you keep going, it'll get to the point where it starts kicking back out of the mouth. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Now you know what? Gauge, no gauge. It's full. Why? It's so full, it's coming back out of the mouth of the inlet there. Well, same thing is true. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what the heart is full of, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And so you put the Word of God in. Is that right? Yeah. And you keep, well, how will I know when I'm full? You don't have to guess. Just keep on. Is that right? Yeah. Putting it in. And a lot of times it takes more than you thought it would. Yeah. Yeah. But keep putting it in. How will you know? Till almost without thinking, it'll start coming out of your mouth and throughout the day and in different situations. What'll start coming out? Not fear, not, oh, my Lord, what are we going to do? But God is with us. Yes. He told us He'd meet all our needs. Is that right? Yes. He'll take care of us. We will come out on top. You start talking faith. Why? Not because it just, you know, lighted on you out of the blue. It got in you through your ears. Yeah. And your eyes and your mind, it got in you. And you don't just want it in you, you want to be full. You want to be so full till anything that pressures you or pushes on you or tries to try you, if it pushes on you, word comes out. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. If it pushes on you, faith comes out. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. If it pushes and squeezes you, Scriptures come out. Yes. Is that right? Scriptures come out. Faith comes out. And oh, this makes the Lord smile because He can work with that. He's watching over His Word to perform it when anybody will believe it and say it. Hallelujah. So say it out loud. Father God, I love You. I love Your Word. I love Your Spirit. Fill me to overflowing with Your life-giving, faith-giving words that I may be filled and it may flow out of my mouth And you may perform it in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So be it. Well, we're deep into our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we have been going one by one through 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure. Don't you like that word, sure? Not wondering about it, not hoping. So we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say that with me? Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now let's say for me on this next one. Abundant provision is always God's will for me. Always. Why would I say that? Well, I'm giving you 30 truths from the Word. The Scripture said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We're going beyond that. And if you respect the Word and the Word has first place in your life, if the Word doesn't have first place in your life, God is not first in your life. He's just not. But if His Word is first place, then regardless of what you've thought or your parents have thought or grandparents or your denomination or your group, you don't let anything take precedence over, or priority, I should say, over the Word of God. You don't let anything, not your own wants, thoughts, feelings, preferences. If you find out the Word says this, and it's different from what you've thought your whole life, guess who's wrong? Anybody want to venture?
Yes.
It's not the Word. It's not, right? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to what He has said. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Sometimes it can be jarring. Sometimes you can go, wow, we've always believed this. Yeah, but where did it come from? Did it come from the Word? And so when the Word has first place in your life, you're on solid rock. Hallelujah. And when you're a doer of it, your house is built on the rock, and storms will not shake you, and they'll not destroy you and take you down like they do so many other people. Well, we're down to reason number 14 in our study. And like we said before, if you want to get the previous reasons, all you got to do is go to faithschool.org, and all the previous 13 reasons plus a whole lot more are there. You can watch the video, you can listen to the audio, even have it in other languages. And there's no cost, no charge. Take advantage of that. You don't have to do it all in one day. You know, you can do one a day if you want, or more. I had somebody that was not accustomed to listening to us tell me recently. They said that they had not got a lot of sleep the night before, and it was my fault. And I said, really? They said, yeah. They had listened to some faith school for the first time, and they liked it so much, they kept going. And they kept going. They kept going. Next thing they know, oh, it's late. And he cut into their sleep time. Well, if that happens, that's okay too. But it'll be there for you, and there's no charge. So our 14th reason in our study is we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because God is the God of restoration. I like that word, don't you? He's the God of restoration. Come on, say it out loud. My God,
my good God,
is the God of restoration. What we saw in Joel is just wonderful. In Joel, the second chapter, where when God's people had come back to Him, He said, I'm blessing you. He had already delivered them out of the hands of their enemy. And He said, I'm going to rain blessing on you. And your crops are going to be abundant. And your wheat bins are going to be full. And your vats are going to overflow. And you might think, well, man, you've arrived. He said, and. Don't you like that? He said, and I'm going to restore to you the years that were eaten up by all these different things. Satan is the devourer. And the Bible is one of the blessings of the tither is that the devourer would be rebuked for your sake. And of course, if you don't believe in tithing, you don't practice that, well, that doesn't belong to you. I'm glad we do. But the devourer, he said, will be rebuked. Well, what does the devourer do? It's what Jesus said. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Every one of those things results in lack. Something missing. Something broken. Something destroyed. Something killed. Now it's not there. Something stolen. Well, we took a look earlier in the week in Exodus where the Lord gave Moses the righteous law of that if somebody was a thief and stole things, that they had to not just repay it, not just replace it, but they had to restore it four times, five times what they stole. Depending on the situation, at double or four or five, but multiple times. In Proverbs it says, if the thief be found, he'd have to restore sevenfold. So what we see, though, is that with God, stealing's not okay. Isn't that one of the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not steal. Stealing is wrong. And, if you've ever been stolen from on any level, it's such a feeling of violation. And it's something that maybe it was something that was important to you and precious to you, or that you worked a long time to get, or was hard to find. And somebody just came in and took it and stole it. That is devilish. That is demonic. That is evil. And the Lord wanted us to see in many different ways how that must be restored. That must be fixed. And how that not just a single replacement, but that's when he said the thing that had been stolen from them and devoured even years past, he said, I'm going to restore that to you. He's the God of restoration. And has he changed? Is he still the God of restoration?
Yes.
Let's go on today to look at another just wonderful example of this. 1 Samuel and the 30th chapter. 1 Samuel and chapter 30 is the story of David, who became later King David. If you read these chapters, it's an account of at one point he was running from Saul and had a group of men with him. And a bunch of men had gathered to him, and actually a bunch of misfits. The Bible said they were disgruntled and owed money and all this kind of stuff. But next thing you know, they are an organized, honorable men. How did that happen? Well, David, their leader, he got this from God. He learned about faith as a boy out tending the sheep. And he learned about who God is. And he learned about honor. If you want to learn something about some of the deep part of the character of who God is, you want to learn about honor. Now, honor has nothing to do with pride. Nothing. Pride is of the devil. And there's no such thing as a good kind of pride. I know people may find it, study the word. Honor, however, is a completely different thing, a godly thing. And David learned that from God. And these men that came and started following him, they got that from him. And they became that way. Do you know, no matter how you grew up, or how ill-mannered, or how poorly taught, are wrongly taught, that doesn't mean you can't change and that you can't become a man of God, a woman of God, somebody who genuinely understands the deep and important things of God and takes on the very character of God in honor and faith and love and goodness and mercy. Quit making excuses about where you were born, where you grew up. Mm-mm. And then you hear people say, well, I never had a daddy. Well, are you born again?
Yes.
You got one now.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
You got the big daddy.
Yes.
Huh? Quit looking to the past. Quit making excuses. A lot of times people just do that because they're lazy. They're not willing to change. Let God make you into. Hallelujah. Somebody like Jesus himself, like the Master. And so here in 1 Samuel 30, David and his men had been out on campaign. And as they're gone, this happened often, you know, in those days. Most all the men were gone from the town. And while they were gone, the enemy came and attacked the town. They weren't there to defend it. It came to pass when David and his men, chapter 30, verse 1, 1 Samuel, when they came to Ziklag, which was there where they were living, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small. Now that is unusual. But that was God protecting them. But they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and daughters were taken captives. Now that's something to come home to, isn't it? In the distance, before you got there, you see smoke. And of course, they're walking or riding horses. It takes a while. And when they get there, the whole city is burned to the ground. Well, the first thing is, where's your family? Right? But then you realize there's no people. They've all been gone. All your stuff has been taken, your family, your people, and your house has been burned to the ground. Well, the Bible said David and his men, verse 4, they lifted up their voice and wept. Now, these are tough guys. These are, you know, David faced down Goliath, right? And that was years ago. These are men, and they're crying like babies. Why? They've lost everything. I mean, you've been gone for weeks or months. You're looking forward to coming home, right? Been looking forward to it for a while. You get there, you don't have a family. You don't have a wife. You don't have a son. You don't have a daughter. You don't have a house. Everything you've built up, your substance, your herds, all that stuff for you, everything's gone. You don't even have a place to sleep. And they're already tired, and they just broke down, the whole bunch of them. You could have heard crying, you know, from a little ways off. And they cried until they had no more power to weep. They cried till they ran out of tears. And just are sighing and grief and depression and desperation. This is a low point. Can you see this? This is the bottom. This is hopelessness. It's what this is. Hopefully, you've lost everything. And the enemy always tries to convince you that what you've lost is lost forever. Irrecoverable loss. And of course, the biggest fear is death. And you know that when somebody has died, is gone, that you love, the reason people grieve, you know, and are unconsolable, and sometimes can't get back to a normal life, is because they're convinced they've lost this person forever. This is irrecoverable, irreplaceable loss. But what kind of God do we have? Come on, remind me, who? Huh? He's the God of restoration. If you don't know that and you don't believe that, well, you're just going to cry and be depressed. That's the end. But if you do know a God who with whom nothing's impossible, a God who you know cares about you, a God who you believe can do something about this seemingly impossibly hopeless situation, you won't just lay down and quit. You'll do something else. And that's what David did. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. You know, when people are hurting, And they don't have faith enough. They want to blame somebody. And they want to take out their pain and frustration on somebody. And that's a bad thing. And you see people do it within their own families. You see spouses do it to each other. You see parents do it to children and children to parents. That's letting the enemy play you and use you. Don't do that. When you have faith, you don't just despair and you don't get mean and try to blame other people and hurt other people. What do you do? What do you do? But David did what? Encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, if he didn't do it, it wasn't going to be done because all his buddies are looking for rocks. Huh? And boy, here's a lesson. Don't wait for other people to encourage you. You may be waiting too long. Huh? And depending on how bad things are, depending on who you hoped would encourage you, they may be the very ones to discourage you. Because they're so discouraged. Everybody's human. And you can go the wrong way. But here we see, why did David, among all these others, why did he go a different way? Why did he look up from his tears? He's hurting like everybody else. But why did he look up from it and go, I can't do this. I got to encourage myself. Have you ever read the Psalms? Huh? You'll see some of what happened with him in some of the Psalms where he would say, soul, why are you cast down? Huh? Be glad in the Lord. I will rejoice. Not that he felt like it, but he began to rehearse the victories God had given him. He began to remember and tell again and speak out again to himself. He's not doing this for anybody else's benefit. For himself, God brought me through this. And boy, this was a low point, but it wasn't the end. God got me out. Is that right? And he just kept praising God and blessing the Lord and recounting past blessings and victories and remembering past prayers answered. And every time he would say this and do this, he got a little stronger.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. He was flat down on the bottom, cried till he had no more tears. He's hurting and despondent and hopeless as anybody else. But thank God he had enough in him that he saw, this is not the way. This is not the way. And he lifts up his hands and he begins to thank God and he begins to quote scripture and he begins to give praise to God and hallelujah, he feels a little better. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's getting a little bit stronger. And so then he does it some more and the more he does it, the better he is. Yeah. And the stronger he is. Right. Why? Well, faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
Right? And he's not yielding any longer to depression and death and sorrow and darkness. He quit yielding to that. He's yielding to the Almighty. He's yielding to El Shaddai.
Hallelujah.
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 He's yielding to the God of restoration. And so what happens through him encouraging himself in his God, he gets enough strength to seek God and ask about possibly recovering. Now see, when you have no faith, you won't even ask. You won't even look. But regardless of how low you were, if you'll encourage yourself in the Lord enough, you'll get to the place where you'll dare to look up and you'll dare to hope and think, could we? Is it, huh? Is it possible? And then the Lord will remind you, I can do anything. And so he said to Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord. He said, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? See, they didn't even know which way to go to look for. North, south, east, or west. They were long gone before they ever got there. I'm sure, you know, somebody immediately ran over the hill and around and looked and tried to. No clue. Long gone. Didn't even know which way to go. But God knows. So he asked the Lord. Scripture said you have not because you ask not. And a lot of times, why don't people ask? Hopeless. No faith. Don't think it would do any good. But he did. Shall I overtake them? He said, pursue, for you will surely, don't you like that word? Yes. Overtake them and without fail recover all. Woo. Yeah. Without fail. Somebody say, without fail. Without fail. Recover all. Well, without going into all the details, they launched out. Part of them were so worn and weary, they couldn't continue, but they left them and the rest of them kept going, and they found somebody that was part of the bunch that attacked them. And he was able to get them there, and they found them. They were a huge host, but they fought from dusk till evening of the next day and completely conquered everything that was there. And look, skip down to the 18th verse. And David recovered all. Ooh, wasn't that the word the Lord gave him?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
David recovered, come on, say, recovered all, recovered all. He recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small or great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that had they had taken to them. David recovered all. Oh, somebody say recovered all. Recovered all. Recovered all. And in fact, not only did they recover all of their stuff, they recovered so much other stuff. Look, if you skip down to verse 26, David said when he got back home, I'm going to send presents of the spoil. And so he sent presents to people in Bethel, and he sent to Ramoth, he sent to Jatir, he sent to Aror, he sent to Sipmoth, he sent to Eshtemoa, he sent to Rakal, he sent to Jeremelites, he sent to the cities of the Kenites, Hormah, Koreshan, Aphek, Hebron. And there were multiple cities in each one of these places. He had enough stuff to send stuff to everybody all over the... Is that God or is that God? He didn't just get replaced what he lost. He got restored many times what he lost because he dared to look up through his tears and ask God, can I get it back? God said, yeah, not only can you, you will. You'll find it. You'll recover all. Oh, somebody say, recover all. Recover all. Recover all. For he is the unchanging good God of restoration. Well, our time's up again. Come back tomorrow. There's more we need to see in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.